Welcome to Being Who You Are. I'm your host, Naomi Simpson. I'm an entrepreneur, an astrologer, a transformational coach, and a yogi. And I believe that speaking authentically empowers others to do the same. Here, we can have conversations around what it means to live in integrity and how the way we live has an impact on the community around us. Thank you for joining me for this exploration. Welcome to Being Who You Are. I'm your host, Naomi Simpson, and I am delighted to welcome my guest, Edie Gudaitis. And Edie and I know each other from the coaching world. We studied together at Transformational Arts College. And before we begin, I thought I would just tell you a little bit about Edie. She is a certified yoga meditation instructor and mindfulness coach. She helps individuals and organizations reduce stress and prevent burnout by helping them cultivate greater self-awareness, resilience, and compassion in their lives. Having worked in the corporate world and hit burnout firsthand, we're going to be talking about that. Edie's main focus is employee wellness, helping clients feel grounded, present, and more relaxed. Over the past 5 years, Edie has navigated immense life change and significant loss. Edie continues to turn hardship into beauty as she stays committed to her truth. She has a BA from the University of British Columbia and a postgraduate certificate from British Columbia Institute of Technology. Outside of yoga and mindfulness, Edie loves to dance, hike, ski, travel, be in nature, read, and write. What a fantastic bio, Edie. Woo-hoo. Woo-hoo, welcome. You got it all going on. You're doing all the things, as they say.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me. And I'm so excited to talk more about, because you know, even in your intro, I was like, oh, that's just the juicy kind of stuff I want to get into in this conversation. So what we talk about in this podcast is really what it means to live in integrity and how this affects those around us. And so my first question to you is, what does that mean to you to live true to yourself?
That's such a good question and such a tricky question. So for me, living true to myself is really staying committed to my heart. It's staying open and honest with myself and continuing to turn the gaze inward to actually listen to the whispers from within. I found that a lot of my teenage years and early 20s was me kind of going off and trying to do what I thought I had to do to please other people, to meet other expectations, societal norms, that whole thing.
And I can relate. Totally can relate. Know exactly what that feels like.
Exactly. Yeah. And I found that in doing that, I distanced myself from my heart. And I really strayed away and I lost touch with that part of myself. And so over the past few years, it's been a journey of coming home, so to speak. Nice. And really connecting back with that heart energy, with that wisdom, recognizing what my passions are, recognizing what my purpose is here, my truth, so to speak. And really committing to that wholeheartedly and making a point to have a positive impact in the communities that I live in, as well as then the people around me. So to me, living true to yourself is definitely listening to the heart, turning that gaze inward, honoring the wisdom of the body. It's also having boundaries and being comfortable communicating and stating those boundaries in a clear way so other people are able to support and respect you in the way that you want and feel supported and seen. And being able to speak, to speak your truth, to use your voice in a way that helps to elevate other people. And also being true to yourself is that piece of integrity, which is like, if you say you're going to do something, follow through and do it.
Right.
And that's for me, like the biggest piece of integrity and that, but it comes back to knowing yourself. Cause if you don't really know yourself and you don't know what makes you tick and you don't know what brings you joy, then it's really difficult for you to stay in integrity I find the more that I am aligned with my heart and with that truth, the easier it is for me to continue to just show up and do what I say I'm going to do. And it just snowballs outwards. So that's, yeah. That's
in a nutshell. Yeah. Nice. I love that. a very thoughtful and thought-provoking answer. And I love the, you know, the beginning where you talked about coming back into your heart and listening to your heart. So can you tell me a little bit more about that? Like, how do you know it's your heart speaking and not just all the little voices in your head saying, do this, be that, do this, you know, tick this box or whatever?
Yeah, that's hard. That's an ongoing practice, to be completely honest. I'm not a pro at like just all of a sudden closing my eyes and I'm like, oh my God, heart, I'm hearing everything you're saying. It's definitely me closing my eyes and being like, okay, wait, what's happening? Oh, that's still the mind. Wait, okay, let's get back in the body. Oh, that's the mind again. Come back to the body. And then as I settle, it usually takes me 5, maybe 10 minutes to really get into the body. So I use meditation a lot. I use my breath a lot. And when I do that, and when I get into that stillness and I connect with my inner stillness, with that place of like stability and being grounded, that's where I start to really feel that deeper knowing. And it, sometimes it's a whisper. Sometimes it's just that deep knowing where you're like, okay, there's a pull in this direction. I'm going to go there. I just know that's where I'm meant to be going.
Right.
Or it's something that lights me up and it's different to the thought that's like, you have to do this. It's more of like, let's try this. Let's be curious. And it's like this warm, this like warming energy that's very like calming. And I don't know. Yeah.
And so, I mean, part of it, you also would need to trust as well. Like there's got to be some faith that, okay, I have this sort of inclination or pull to this area. And I trust that if I follow this, this isn't going to lead me astray, that there's safety in following this because it's part of the journey. And whether the outcome is what I expect or anticipate or whatever, it's still a valuable part of my life experience. And so it's worthwhile regardless of outcome.
Right. Yeah, that's a really good point. Definitely. And I think that's been the biggest piece of my own growth and transformation is saying yes. And kind of recognizing there's a bigger plan in place. I'm going to trust the flow of it. And that's not easy. That's never come naturally to me. That's something I'm actually working with my therapist on right now is like really deepening self-trust and deepening trust with others and relationships at large. But it is interesting that the more that I step back, it's that give and take. It's like put in the effort and then kind of step back and watch the pieces come together and see what happens. And if I like the way the flow is going, great, go that way. If I notice it's going somewhere that I'm really not okay with, and again, there's something in my body that's telling me maybe I should think about it or change, then there's that awareness, which is, I think, the biggest piece to all of this is the awareness to then go, okay, maybe I need to hit pause and like reevaluate to see if it goes this way. Because without awareness, that's when you can end up going down a path. And if you're not paying attention, then it can kind of hit a wall that you didn't want to hit or were not expecting. Whereas if you have that awareness, you might have that inclination to say, okay, we need to like take a detour.
Or whatever.
Be flexible. And you'll still end up, and you'll still end up maybe getting to the point you wanted to get to, but it might be a different route to get there because you've been able to have the mindfulness piece to, to kind of separate and then move forward again.
Okay. So that sounds to me like learning how to surrender and let, you know, and that's much, much easier said than done. I know going with the flow and surrendering is something that I personally struggle with often. And as you said, like the key to is awareness and to be what I recognize when I'm in that space of resisting or trying to force something or putting undue pressure on a situation. And it's having that sort of presence to say, there might be a different way to do this. Like just relax, soften. And then, like you said, I find often that when you sort of stop struggling, then it's like, oh, gee, it was actually a lot simpler than I thought if I just let things unfold. I have a hard time. Personally, I'm one of those people who's very I really want, if I think of something, it's like, I want to do it. I want to do it now. And it's got to be perfect. And I'm going to go like sort of whole hog on it. So it's hard to sometimes just let things just go a little bit more calmly.
Yeah. And I agree. I totally agree. I have to say, like, for me, it's some of the life events that have happened that have led me to kind of trust the bigger plan, even when there are things in my life that I do not wish on anyone.
Right.
But having the faith, as you said, that everything kind of fits into a bigger puzzle. I don't know. For some reason, I find comfort in that, even when I'm like, this is super unfamiliar and I'm uncomfortable, but I'm still gonna just give it a shot, give it a chance. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's interesting what happens. And it is such a dance, like such a dance. And I think you can relate, like, with the yoga background. Yes. For me, that's like what I go back to every time. I'm like, okay, in yoga, it's like the oppositional poles, and you're like, gonna strengthen this muscle and really engage these, but then you're gonna soften this part and you're gonna surrender to the breath, and you're just like, oh my God. So I try to embody that off the mat when I'm not teaching or practicing, and that seems to help me a lot.
Good. Yeah, absolutely. I feel that when I became a yoga teacher, I had no intention of teaching. I just did it to deepen my practice, and only because my yoga teacher basically asked all of us to teach yoga, because she said, you know, the world needs more yoga, which it absolutely does. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful I did that. And I'm so grateful that I share it with others and that I continue to teach, even though teaching yoga is totally out of my comfort zone. But I do it every week, and I do really love it. But it is, those practices have been so critical to my whole spiritual journey. And I'm so, so deeply grateful for yoga. It's been such a powerful way of living.
Yeah, I agree. It's a very healing practice.
Absolutely.
Even if you go into it without the intention or even awareness that you, quote, need to heal. Like, I first went into it because I was like, I want to do powerful flows all the time. And it's like dancing on a yoga mat. And my background was dance. So it got my attention. And then after a few years, I was like, oh, what are they talking about? It's all of like the words and the wisdom. And I was like, there's more to this.
Yes, there's so much more. I know. I always say, it doesn't matter, because I'll joke with students, like, you may come with the intention of just like, you want to look great and feel good. Mm-hmm. And this is just a new method of exercise. That if that's your approach, that's fine, but it's going to have a bigger impact on you, even if you don't intend it to.
Yeah.
As long as you're open and receptive to it. So.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you touched on times where, that was in your bio as well, that you have certainly experienced transformation through some difficulty. I invite you to share as much as, or as little as you wish, but can you just tell me about how that has helped you come into more of who you really are?
Yeah. So there are a few key events, I guess, that it's all in the last 5 years that I look back on where I'm like, geez, Elise, a lot was just jam-packed.
It always, when it rains, it pours, right?
Yeah, seriously. But it all connected to each other, and it all prepared me for the most recent one. Okay. So in retrospect, again, I'm grateful for all of it. Mm-hmm. That was the first piece. And then a few months later, I ended up getting into a car accident 2 days before my 25th birthday. And that was another pivotal piece, because that was kind of the universe at that point being like, okay, you need to connect back to yourself now.
Oh, wow.
You've been doing a lot for your family, but you're disconnecting from yourself. And mm-hmm. I had started going out and socializing again, but it wasn't in a way of like, I want to just do this because I already feel amazing. It was like, I'm not in a good place, and I'm doing this to try to feel great. So wasn't healthy.
It was an escape. Like
it was an escape. It was me trying to handle it and be cool and calm and collected, but it was like one end or the other.
Oh, okay.
And so that car accident, it was in the morning. I was sober. It was nothing to do with that. But when it happened, it was me being like, oh, I need to get my act together, and I need to start focusing on my body needs and really taking care of myself. And so that kind of kicked me into physio and kicked me into doing a lot of yoga and really honoring my body and starting to communicate boundaries, because I was also working a ton and was working double shifts and was getting sick, and I just wasn't taking care of myself as best I could. So that was my big like turning point to either choose the path I was on or to start to really say yes to me.
Okay. So it was a real wake up call at that point.
It was a huge wake up call.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so at that point, that's when I was like, I think I want to go back to school.
Okay.
I think I want to go into corporate. Like, let's try to explore this avenue and just see what happens and whatever else. And so that's when I like moved back to Vancouver, went back to school, shortly moved back to Toronto, dove into corporate. Yeah. And when I did that, I also dove into yoga. So I was like, really, like, yoga became 5 days a week as soon as I went back to school. And it was not my flow yoga. It was restorative hatha, because I was still recovering from back stuff from the car accident. So I was like very much in like a year of recovery and healing. And that was basically my, I would say, start to where I am right now, because that's when I really started to show up for myself. And so, yeah, moving to Toronto, I worked for two organizations while I was there, and I was exposed to different forms of leadership, and it was a very good experience. I'm grateful for both of them. I have respect for both of the firms I worked for, but I found for me that it just wasn't aligning with my heart. I wasn't feeling fulfilled. I was showing up and doing the work, but it just wasn't sitting well. And with the second one, that the second organization I worked for, it was an amazing opportunity. It was a global firm. Like the projects I was responsible for were like amazing. And I'm still, I look back and I'm like, how did I do that?
Wow.
We were a tiny team managing so many things. And so it was really incredible. But again, at that point it was like, my health was going out the window, because even with my yoga and meditation practice, I was still being like, just, it was so much work.
Okay.
So much work all the time. And I was just like, I can't do this.
Okay. So how did you recognize, like, I mean, so you're, you know, you're sort of like living, you've gone back to school, you now are working in what you've kind of continued your education in.
Yeah.
And then you've got this like great opportunity and sort of dream job.
Yeah.
What gave you the presence of mind to say, oh, put the brakes on, this is not working? Like, how did you, because that's a big thing to step away from when you're, everything's going the way, this is what you've been working towards and what you think you wanted. What enabled you to conclude that no, this isn't it?
So a few things. One of my bosses resigned, and she and I were very, like, we were on the same page. We really got each other. We worked well together. When she resigned, the management changed a bit for us, and the person managing me, we didn't see eye to eye as well. It was a lot of like trying to see eye to eye, but it was like this.
Oh boy. Yeah.
So that made it really complex. For both of us, and I feel for them as well. So that was a piece. The other one was my body. My body was screaming at me. I had sciatica down both legs. I had back pain. I had headaches. I had brain fog. I had insomnia. I had anxiety. You name it, I had it.
Wow.
Yeah. So it just started snowballing.
Okay.
And I was like, this is insane. People have put in 20 years at this firm and they don't seem to have the problems I'm having. Why is it I'm having this many problems and I'm not even in it for like 5 years?
So your body is literally screaming at you saying like, get out. This is not for you.
Yeah. And I was going to yoga still. And every time I go to yoga, I was like, I just want to do more of this. Like, I just want to keep doing these classes and I want to keep learning this material. And I want to start doing this. Like, why am I not doing this? This is what makes me happy. And I had colleagues that would come up to me and they were like, what's your smoothie bowl recipe? I have sciatica. Can you show me the stretches you do to relieve sciatica?
Oh, cool.
I have this thing. Can you show me this? Like, and I would just go to the kitchen and we'd do stretches. And then I'd like send them a recipe for my smoothies, or like they'd come over and sit on a chair beside me and we'd be doing like back releases at my desk. Like,
that's hilarious.
Yeah. I was like, we need to do this stuff. And I was kind of like the instigator of like, do we have a meditation group? We don't. Can we get a meditation group? Is there a way we can bring yoga into the company? Can we start doing yoga on Fridays or like whatever? And people started noticing that. And then it was some other things. And I just found as well, like working in the marketing team for the firm I was at, looking at how we were marketing ourselves externally, mm-hmm. looking at our values and our morals and our ethics and all of that, and then looking at how internal practices were.
So not
it goes back to your integrity piece. It wasn't matching. Yeah. And integrity was one of the things they like prided themselves on.
Right.
And yes, in certain ways, for sure. Mm-hmm. But in certain ways, there were a lot of discrepancies. And there was, I feel, a lot of disrespect for the employee body because of the stressors placed from not having enough support to actually do the work.
Okay.
And that to me was huge. Like employee well-being, you need to have your employees well to serve your clients. If your employees are struggling, if your employees are quitting, if your employees are taking sick leave, like these are signs that things aren't working. These aren't signs that you need to hire like other people to replace them. It's like, you need to look at the bigger structure and something is off.
Yeah. Something's what's the underlying issue that needs to be examined and resolved.
And that was my biggest thing. And that's my biggest perspective on everything is like long-term thinking, preventative health.
Okay.
And everything. And they were like, we're long-term thinkers. And I was like, cool. For clients. Yes, you are. For what you're working on in the industry you're in. Yes, that's great. Be forward thinking, think long-term. However, let's look back at the human level too, because we're not robots. Mm-hmm. And there's so much more going on that like we need to have human to human connections.
Right.
And if we're not getting that in the company and we're not having that relationship and rapport, how do you expect that to translate on a bigger scale and then translate to the clients? There's definitely a miscommunication thing here. So that for me was huge. And then, so those were some of the biggest pieces. And then my colleague who I worked super close with, she was just like, Edie, your brain is clearly elsewhere. And she was like, why do you not pursue it? And I was like, because I'm in this job and this is what I've dreamed of doing. And like, I'm going to keep doing this. And she's like, but if that's not where your heart is, why are you doing this? And I was like, I don't know. Are you successful at yoga? Like, I've never thought of like yoga teachers being super successful. It's like dancers. You work 10 jobs and like teach yoga and try to break even. Like, I want this job. I've worked for it. I'm going to do this. And she was like, okay, but like, just start, like, just so you're aware, like notice it. And then basically an opportunity presented itself where I was going on a yoga meditation retreat to Bali. And that was a 2-week immersive experience that could have been on par with teacher training for all I'm concerned about.
Yeah.
And I was just like, wow, that like literally just was like a sledgehammer to me.
Oh, wow.
And it was just like break you open and start to really recognize what isn't working.
Wow.
And I got back amazing. And I was like, I need to quit my job. But at that point I couldn't. So I was like, let's just try. I was like, I'll do 2 months. I'll do a few more months. I'll keep going. And so I kept going being like, nope, it's going to be fine. It's going to get better. I'll see a different way to work with this. I still love the work I do. I really like my team. Mm-hmm. So I want to show up as I can. And then it just got to a point where I was like, this isn't working. And there were so many different things that weren't working that I was like, I need to leave.
Wow.
And at that point I was so at capacity and so exhausted and burnt out that like, I didn't even have it in me to look for another job.
Okay.
And I was like, I think I literally need to just step back and move to my parents for a little bit and take 4 months to reset and then dive back into work the following year. Cause it was that fall when I left the company.
Okay.
And so I did that and that was like a huge choice to make because I was living downtown in a condo on my own with a company that I was like really good, respected company, salary, benefits, you name it. I had it.
Yeah.
And I literally was like, nope, I'm done. I'm leaving. And went back to my parents with no plan and was like, I'm going to live in your basement.
Okay.
I've lived out of your house for 10 years, but I'm just going to come back.
I'm coming back. So what was the reaction? Like what did your friends and family think when you were like, yep, I'm giving it all up and I just don't want to do it anymore. Like it's not for me.
Yeah. My friends were kind of like, good. Okay. You've been like, we've been watching you kind of die over the past year, and it has not been a good environment. So power to you for saying yes to yourself and walking away.
Nice. Good friends.
They were just like, yeah, they were like, that's amazing. And like, holy moly, take what time you need. Cause they knew I have very supportive parents, which I'm very grateful for.
Good.
My parents were my mom was more like, maybe check with your dad. See if it's okay that you're moving home. She's like, I mean, I'm okay with it, but like, I think we should check with him too, because we're used to not having kids now. And I was like, yeah, that's fair. And she was like, are you sure you want to do this? Like, are you sure? Have you looked at other firms? And I had looked at other firms, and I had applied to jobs a few weeks prior, but I kept looking at them and was like, I'd get excited. And then I was like, no, I don't even want to do this work. So like, why am I going to change jobs if I don't even want to do this work?
Right.
And so I finally got to that place where I was like, no, I literally just need to reset and like figure myself out. And I need to have the time and space to do that. And so if you give me permission, I know I don't want to live in the city anymore, even if I do change jobs. So can I please just move home and figure it out? And so they were like, yeah, no problem. And it was supposed to be 4 years, and it's now where I'm still here, but it's also COVID. So that's changed we are a lot in sort of dynamics.
We are in exceptional times now. So,
so it definitely changed, but it was a big shift. And when I got home initially, I was like, I'm not going to work. I'm going to take 4 months off, but I don't know how to do that.
Okay.
So within about a month and a half, I was like, and I'm going to create my own business. And I'm going to target the wellness organizations that deep down I want to work for, but I'm not ready fully to make that leap. So I'm just going to service them, but want to do that work.
Nice.
And then finally, I was like, I sat down with my mom in January, and I was like in tears. And I was like, I really, really want to get certified. And I know this is what I want to be doing. Me continuing to try to do other things to try to prove to myself that I can stay in corporate in some way is not making sense.
Wow.
Yeah. And she was like, okay, if you know for certain. I remembered having a conversation with her then being like, I just want to go to Hawaii and get certified.
Wow.
And she was like, I mean, I want you to have a career because you did university, and let's see where that goes, please. And I was like, fine. Okay. Let's do that.
Okay.
And then it finally kind of came full circle.
Yes.
A few years later.
Yeah. And that's such a powerful example of, and I mean, and it's so common too, that, you know, we do things. I know for myself, when I went to university, it was, I didn't even feel like I had a choice. Like, it was just like, and then you finish high school and you go to university. And I feel deeply privileged to have had that opportunity. Mm-hmm. And, but I also feel that I know a lot of people who I think were at university because that was the expectation, particularly from their parents. And of course, their parents have that expectation because they just want all the doors open for their children. Yeah. And they know that post-secondary education is a very easy way to open doors. But that's very powerful to finally come to this realization that I've done all this learning and invested all of this time and effort, and I've tried it and worked in this industry, and it's just not for me. So, and that's like, kudos to your mother for still supporting that, even though she, you know, earlier on was like, well, just give it a try. And then, but for her to finally accept like, okay, no, this isn't working for you. And I'm going to, you know, I respect your decision. So that's powerful.
Yeah. And it was interesting because I like went back to working at a cafe where I'm living now. And I was like, I haven't made this little money since I was in high school. Yes. So I was like, this is a bit of a mind shift, but I was like, I know that this is me getting to the point I want to go to. So let's just, again, give myself space, honor it, and know that it's a stepping stone. This is not long-term.
Yeah. It's a means to an end. So
exactly.
Yeah. You do so what that you was helpful.
Yeah. And then basically after that happened, right when I was like, I'm going to like go do my yoga teacher training and whatever. That's when my mom was like, I'm going to start getting really worse. And things declined. So basically when I had quit corporate and I made the move home, my mom started talking about a lot of symptoms that I didn't even know were going on internally for her.
Okay.
I had noticed she was losing weight, and she had said to me in the summer she was having issues sleeping, and I could tell she looked exhausted, and it was weird that she was eating the same and like getting skinnier. We were all kind of like, what's happening? So she was starting to go to doctors to see what was wrong, and one of them kind of just brushed it aside and was like, well, it comes with age, sleep and like losing weight can be part of it. And we were all like, So as soon as I moved home and she started to share more things that were going on, that's when I started to advocate for her. I basically was like, here we go again. Okay, okay. Now it's for my mom. Right. Let's figure this out, because doctors are going to dismiss it unless we push it hard. So I started taking her to all her doctor's appointments, going with her, taking notes, telling them her symptoms, telling them how quickly she was declining, pushing for tests, doing all of the things. She didn't want to tell my sister to worry her. And I was like, that's really stupid. Your daughter's a nurse. We should have her involved. But anyway, that happened. So it was a lot for me to be caring for, because my dad was like aware, but he was also dealing with his own stuff. And I think he was partially in denial as his own protection.
Yeah.
And my mom kept downplaying it because she didn't want us to worry. And I was like, something is wrong. We're not going to just be humble and like quiet about it right now. Like, there's no humility here.
It's no, like, you've got to find out what's going on. Yeah.
Absolutely. And she would always do that. Like, she had histories of migraines and different things, and she would always put everyone else before her. And I was like, okay, I love you, mom, but that's not okay now. We're not doing that. So that was an interesting thing to navigate. And then,
shortly, did you get a diagnosis finally? Or
yeah. So it was in January, January 2019 is when we got the diagnosis. We had to go to Toronto General and we were there for 2 weeks. They did like tons of tests, and then they got the diagnosis. So she was diagnosed with Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. So CJD, it's a neurodegenerative prion disease. It's basically one of the, it's I think considered to be like a rapid form of dementia.
Okay.
And it's kind of, it's not mad cow, but it's kind of in that realm.
Right.
So what happens is like her cerebellum was impacted, which is the motor skills part. It's like a mini brain right below your brain. Okay. So she was feeling a lot of rocking on a boat and different things that they kept saying was vertigo. And I was like, this is not vertigo.
Right.
And then she started to have, I was noticing short-term memory issues and vision was going. And it was really interesting because the octaves of her voice would change.
Oh.
So instead of like, if she got mad, instead of raising her voice, she would start whispering.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was the opposite, because my mom was a firecracker when she wanted to be. So I was like, that's concerning in and of itself. Like, what is happening? I don't mind. You're more peaceful. It's beautiful. Like, stay that way. But also, this is not normal. So we need to figure out what's happening. So it was very interesting to witness that. And like, by the time we'd gotten her to the hospital, she had like a Parkinsonian tremor and was having issues starting to feed herself. And like, there were so many things. And I was like, you're 64. This is not normal. You're like the Energizer Bunny, who's the most independent, self-reliant person. And now you're this like more like demure person that's like sleeping all the time. You never slept before. Like, this is so opposite. So,
so it's like her aging was really accelerated.
Oh, literally. And you could see it. Like, it's crazy. If you look at photos from like 2017 to 2019, like the shift that happened within the year of 2019 is nuts.
Oh, wow.
So that was a lot. End of 2018 to 2019, it was a lot. So being there with that, so we finally, like, my sister found out right around Christmas, and then we went to the hospital in January. So then she met us there. And so then that was helpful, because she was able to really like go hands-on with it and also talk to doctors and do stuff. And then my dad was able to like handle other parts. And so we kind of became this like little functioning company where like, my dad handled like legal and financial and all of those things that go on. And then my sister was like strongly medical. And then I was like the communicator liaison, like organizing meals, doing all the visits, like coordinating everyone, and continuing to like show up for my family and be like, we're not shutting down. None of us are shutting down. We're not just going to like drink wine and try to ignore what's happening to numb our feelings. We're going to process and talk about them. And like, I have a therapist, you're all getting therapists, whether you want them or not, because we need to talk about this. Like, she just got a fatal diagnosis and her timeline was 3 months to 6 months to a year. And she was with us for 8 weeks.
Oh my gosh. Oh wow.
And she was with us 6 weeks at home and just shy of two at hospice. It was bonkers.
Yeah.
And it went from her being semi self okay to us being full three caregivers at all times.
That's...
So it was exhausting and very intense. Mm-hmm. And that for me was my other pivotal moment in my life where I was like, life is short and very unexpected. Mm-hmm. And if I don't commit to my heart right now, if I don't commit to really following this path, what am I doing?
Yeah.
And it's a disservice to myself and everyone around me. So I need to make the most of this. I need to find a way to continue to process this mm-hmm. grief and process this pain. But I also need to find a way to share my story that's going to inspire other people to look at their life experiences through a different lens, and to tap back into gratitude, and to tap back into curiosity, and to tap back into the heart when mm-hmm. we want to be staying in fear and defense and division. And when that happens, we lose time. Mm-hmm. So how can we honor ourselves? How can we honor our families? How can we make the most of the time we have, which includes giving ourselves space and giving our bodies rest? Mm-hmm. So it's been really, really powerful for me over the last few years. And like, I look back and I'm like the resilience that was cultivated over that time is invaluable to me being able to stay as rooted in myself as I did, because I remember like sharing the news with my therapist and I was like, so what? And she was like, yeah, she's like, so if I can give you any advice, keep living from your heart. Whenever mm-hmm. you want to shut down, tap into curiosity, see what your mom's needs are, read your mom's body language, put yourself in her shoes and keep showing up from a lens of like, this is interesting. This mm-hmm. is different. How can I support her? Not, oh, this is weird. What the heck's happening? I'm freaking out, because that's going to happen anyway, but it doesn't need to take the spotlight. So that shift allowed me to enjoy whatever time I had with her. And it allowed our family to get super close mm-hmm. during a time that often creates massive separation and ripples within family groups. So I look back on it and it's a very hard time, but it's also a very beautiful, positive memory because of the perspective I took on it and the way we came together to mm-hmm. create the experience that we shared. So,
I'm sorry, of course, for your loss. And thank you for sharing that story with us. Like it is such a powerful, transformative story. And I really appreciate the fact that you didn't just sort of, you know, there's the whole in the spiritual community, sometimes there can be a tendency to be like, well, it was for, you know, my development, but you acknowledge that it was also terrible and really painful. And it took a lot of effort to stay present to the journey of your mother's death. Yeah. And that's, so it's not just being like, well, in the end, it was all fine. You know, it's, you're not spiritual bypassing. You're not sort of sugarcoating it. It's to acknowledge like, this totally sucked. And this was the hardest thing. And I can also be grateful for the beauty of the experience of sharing that time as a family. And also understanding with the perspective of hindsight, the way it's changed you and brought you to, you know, your current path and what you're doing with your life now.
Totally. Yeah. Cause like, I look back and it's like, if I had been working corporate, I would have had to quit my job to have that much time off to be with my family and then have time to grieve. Like bereavement is like 10 days or something stupid. Yeah.
And you might not have even chosen to do that. You know, it would, you might've been like, oh, I can't do, you know, so sorry.
Okay, and then you just start embodying it. And that's when things get problematic, because your body, like there's the saying, we store issues in our tissues.
Absolutely.
We're made of energy.
Yeah. And the body knows the score.
Exactly. So if we're not moving our body, if we're not tapping into what's happening, like every day I was doing yoga and I was meditating when my mom was diagnosed, I was like, I can't show up for my family if I don't show up for myself.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that was huge.
Yeah.
And that allowed me to stay present, as you said. And I was forced to sit with how I was feeling. And like, I'm still processing it. We just passed 2 years. So it's super fresh. It's Mother's mm-hmm. Day and her birthday this coming week. Like, not there always easy times, but it's, I think the main thing is like giving myself the permission.
Yeah.
To feel, and giving myself the space to feel, mm-hmm. because Absolutely. Yeah, the biggest piece I think for me is recognizing how differently people grieve too.
Yes. And it's not a linear thing. And
no.
It's funny, I've had that experience with other situations where I think, why am I not over this yet? Or why, you know, and then I realize, well, why am I judging the fact that I'm not, quote, over it? You know, how about just allowing that this is the way I need to experience this? And that grief is a very layered experience. We all grieve differently. We all express our bereavement in different ways. And it's okay. Like, let go of the judgment of the process and just allow it to be. Again, going back to that, like, go with the flow, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, exactly. And so that's been really, really massive for me okay. over the past few years of navigating it. So that mm-hmm. was another piece for me. And then there's another piece. I'll just share one more. So I ended up getting my teacher training done, and that was Excellent. Super exciting. Mm-hmm. And then shortly after, 2 months later, I was skiing and I managed to shatter my tibia and my fibula in a ski accident. So I blew my left ankle apart and I got a really intense surgery with a plate and 7 screws. That was how 2019 ended. So 2019 started with my mom's diagnosis.
Oh,
2019
wow.
ended with me shattering my foundation. Mm-hmm. My world had already been flipped upside down and turned inside out at that point. And pain was like, I was like, I broke my leg. That's nothing. Look what yeah. just happened. Like yeah. I can do this, whatever.
Yeah.
And that was just, again, though, it was like, I'd felt like I was broken open with okay. losing my mom. And then mm-hmm. with that, it was like, I had been kind of fearful of moving forward and taking the next step. Mm-hmm. And so shattering the foundation for me was like my own take on going, okay, well now I get to literally rebuild myself from the ground yeah. up. So
wow.
let's do it.
That's a powerful way to look at it.
Mm-hmm. And so that's literally, I was laying on the ski hill saying that, and the paramedics were all like, you are not our normal patient. And I was like, high five guys. Thanks for helping me. You're doing great. Like my leg is going numb, but we're fine. We're going to get through it. I'm just going to breathe. And they were what? Okay. Like I was just joking with them. I was like, I'm in shock, but like, yeah. it's better that I'm positive than I am like freaking out. Cause
yeah.
I've already injured myself. So the only thing I can do is like figure out how to move forward.
Yeah.
So again, that perspective was super helpful. And so again, then I just committed, like it was right before Christmas. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to be in BC with my sister and my dad, first Christmas without our mom. My dad went to BC, hung out with my sister. I was at our neighbor's house by myself
on oh, wow.
like morphine and crutches and had neighbors and friends checking on me. Cause I was just like, life's great. We're good. Like, I don't know what to do. I can't move anywhere. I can't travel.
Yeah.
So it was crazy. And I just made it a point though, at that point, I was like, okay, I can't really use my body that much, but what mm-hmm. can I do within the limitations? And so okay. I started to really explore how I could move mm-hmm. and all the things I could do. And it
oh,
was
wow.
so eye-opening to mm-hmm. learn how to move my body in different ways and how I could still stay super physically active and super
wow.
in shape.
Okay.
And not just like become a vegetable. Cause so many friends were like, so how many Netflix series are you watching? And I was like, none. And they were like, actually, and I was like, I'm reading books and I'm writing and I'm like planning curriculums for youth for like yoga and doing this stuff for potential workshops. I was like, I just did my YTT. My brain is on fire. Like yeah. I'm going to keep doing it and keep committing to my growth. And I'm also going to like do crazy rehab and physio for my body. Cause I need to come back stronger from this.
Yeah. Wow.
And so that was my other final piece, I guess you can say, that was really mm-hmm. like, I had a choice. I had a choice to kind of, again, be in a victim mode, or I had a choice to be like, let's use this as fuel to move mm-hmm. forward and become the best version of myself. And again, to continue aligning closer and closer to my heart. And so that was pivotal.
Right.
And I also, to the point of integrity, I really value the way my mom lived her life mm-hmm. and seeing the legacy she has left behind, mm-hmm. seeing the feedback and comments people still reach out to me for, seeing the scholarship we've established in her name and mm-hmm. the lives it impacts and changes is phenomenal. And she was a person of integrity and respect to her core,
right?
And honoring family. And those are qualities that I just strive to embody so much. And
nice.
So that really, again, goes back to like living your truth and following that with your whole heart. So yeah, that's kind of like a very long version of how I've gotten to what I'm doing now, but it all again interrelates. And I think it's just so important to recognize and look back on life to see how things do relate. Because if we don't do that, it's hard to actually integrate our growth. So yeah.
I love how your mother really has inspired you, but your own story is so inspiring because it's just like all these different twists and turns, and that they've all led you in a different direction and ultimately, you know, to where you are now. And I feel like, so I've been asking people sort of how COVID has affected their ability to live in integrity. And I think like COVID's probably been a complete cakewalk for you after what you've been through for the last several years. And I think what, when you describe the whole, your approach to your injury and your healing, when, you know, the expectation is like, how many Netflix series have you watched and that kind of thing. And I'm not hating on Netflix. Like it's fun to watch Netflix once in a while, but it's like when you talk to people about the, what they've been, how they've been spending the past year of lockdown on and off. And, you know, I talk to different people who are like, oh, I'm so bored. And I think, oh, wow. You know, that's unfortunate, I think, because this is a huge opportunity to really be introspective. To, there's so many different ways. And I also recognize that sometimes we just need to be bored and rest because this is incredibly stressful and it's a sprint that has turned into a marathon. And so it's okay to like recognize, I certainly have days where I'm like, nope, I'm just going to watch a movie and do nothing. And that's okay too. So I'm not saying that there's a time for that.
For sure.
And there's also an opportunity to be like, okay, what do I want to learn, and how do I want to use this time? This time is a real gift.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So how has it been a gift for you?
It makes me laugh. So basically I was just starting physio and all of my rehab at the gym when COVID closed everything down. And I was just starting to teach in studio, everything. I was still on crutches when I was teaching. Like it was early March. I was on crutches till like, April. Yeah. I would crutch into the studio, put my crutches against the wall, sit down on my mat. I'd teach a flow class and I'd modify all my warrior sequences. I was just like, so you either do the full one or just do what I'm doing. Because I can't do what you're doing, but we're going to do yoga. And I was committed to it. It was awesome. So basically when I was told that I wasn't allowed to do anything and had to stay home, I was probably the first rule breaker because I basically was like, I have to walk because I have to move my leg. So I will be walking 2 to 3 walks a day every day in my neighborhood outside because my body will be very screwed if I don't. And so that was my focus because I'd already been in my own quarantine for so long. So I did that. And I also immediately recognized that the world was grieving on a collective level.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I was like, let's talk about it. Because I was like, I've literally just gone through this on the personal and now we're doing this on the collective. And so let me share my tools and let's start doing the work to feel and process, because we need to, if we're going to get through this. You're not going to get over it. You're going to get through it. And how you show up is how you get through it. And there are ways and it's your choice. So let's figure out the choice that actually aligns with your highest good and your health versus what might feel easier, because we don't want to actually connect with that part of us. Like, why are we so afraid of ourselves? Why are we so afraid of all of these things that are brushed under the cover, when in reality, if we don't deal with them, it's going to get worse.
Yeah. So, we're afraid of how we feel, and we're afraid of, you know, so we're reluctant to express our feelings and even to allow them, because we feel like they're going to overwhelm us, instead of remembering that our feelings are just like the weather. They're changing all the time. There's no need to judge them as good or bad. And I always say, it's just like when it's snowing, I put on my snow suit and my boots and hat and mitts, and I'm prepared for that. And so whatever I'm feeling, I allow myself to feel that and express it and go deep within it, get curious about why, and then just allow it to flow through so it can release. Because if we tamp it down and pretend it's not happening, it's still there and it's going to come out. It's going to come out when we least expect it. And it usually comes out in a not so pleasant way as like a massive explosion or whatever. So
totally. And that's kind of what I'd done in corporate, because I kept ignoring all my signals and then my whole body imploded. And I was like, oh, like I need to deal with this. And when I was in Sri Lanka for my teacher training, I imploded. And my yoga instructor was like, you need to talk to a female figure. And I was like, no, I can't. I don't want to burden them, whatever. And she was like, no, you're literally struggling and suffering. And as soon as I spoke with someone and I started to feel my feelings, I was like, okay, I can do this. Cause it is scary. Emotions are intense and it's heavy and you don't want to feel crappy. Like I get it, but also it's so much more suffering created as a result of ignoring and suppressing.
Yes.
Because of the fear and anxiety we create around the feeling of feeling it.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So it's, so it's interesting. So for when COVID started, I was like, this is it. I'm ready. This is what I'm here for. Like, I'm going to show up and be of service.
I prepared for this. I prepared for this. I can do this.
So I started doing like stuff online, and it was just like Instagram Live at first. And then I started doing more stuff online with other studios, but I also was still recovering. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to just like, it was still year one for my mom. Like there was so much stuff that was fresh. And I was like, we were just approaching the 1 year when COVID hit as well. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna do some more schooling and further my interest and try to like figure out how I can show up for people and figure this all out, because I was so new to so many things within what I was doing. And so, COVID, I kind of used as a space, as another breather and more introspection and more integration of everything. And then it's more since the fall and the beginning of right now, like January is when I really, really like dove in hard and have since like seen amazing growth with my business.
Oh, wonderful.
And and what I'm doing and who I'm servicing, because there's such a need for mindfulness services with remote working. And just in general, it's like, we're not taught these tools in school.
No,
we're not taught
at all.
These tools in the work environment. So unless you actively seek it out yourself, you don't necessarily have the tools to navigate this. And it can be debilitating and it can lead to depression and it can lead to substance abuse and all these things to numb and try to navigate and be okay, because society kind of deems feelings as weaknesses and all these other things. So if we can start changing the dialogue, if we can start really educating ourselves and practicing these other tools that are out there and committing to our growth and recognizing, as you've mentioned, it's a long-term game. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. That we're not going to just wake up tomorrow and be a different person. We have
Enlightened. Yay.
Exactly.
Not quite. I wish.
Exactly. And I think because the instant gratification of technology, it's really hard for people to commit to themselves and to commit to their growth and these practices. But it's when we keep saying yes and showing up and just do one foot in front of the other. And that's been my whole thing with COVID. I'm like, I don't care what I do every day. Like I do, but if some days I accomplish 10 things and if some days I do one, all that matters is I keep taking one foot in front of the other.
Yeah. That's a, that's a very, that I love that advice. That sounds very much like my approach to when I did walked the Camino de Santiago, which is this wonderful pilgrimage in Spain. And it was that approach, like just put one foot in front of the other. You'll get there. You just have to keep going. Utea is the word. Keep going. Keep going.
And it's like, and it's the balance within that. Cause it's like, keep going. And as you're going, recognize how you feel and recognize your energy levels. And if it means keep going means that you're going to rest all today, that's still you showing up. So it's recognizing that too, because for me, being a people pleaser, being a perfectionist, working in corporate, throwing myself in it, doing the corporate grind, all of that, like, it's like you get in the mindset that if you're not pushing, you're not doing anything. And then the worthiness stuff comes up. And so it's like recognizing that our inherent worth and goodness is present regardless of what we're doing. And it's more how we listen to our bodies and how we care for our bodies in that preventative health, long-term approach mm-hmm. that we're able to really live the wholehearted life and show up in the way that we deep down want to. Mm-hmm. So
beautiful, beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for such a wonderful conversation. Now you offer so many wonderful different programs. Where can people, where's the best people place for, sorry, if people want to connect with you, where is the best place for people to find you?
So Instagram mm-hmm. is great. I'm on Instagram all the time. Okay. My name is Edie. So E-D-I-E-G-U-D. So ediegood.wellness.
Okay.
That's the Instagram handle. Mm-hmm. You can find me on my website, which is www.ediegooditis.com. Mm-hmm. You can also find me on LinkedIn. So if you are working in corporate and you're wanting to bring services to your team, I'm heavily on LinkedIn as well. And the name is Edie Gooditis. There. So E-D-I-E, last name G-U-D-A-I-T-I-S. So
okay, perfect.
Those are a few ways to connect.
Okay. And I will put links to all of these in the show notes so people can check them out. So they've got the links easily. So if they're trying to, if they're driving and they're like, I've got to write this down.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you so much, Edie. I really enjoyed this conversation and it was wonderful to see you and looking forward to seeing you in person one of these days when we are back, hopefully soon, off of our current lockdown. But anyway,
exactly.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in and looking forward to the next conversation. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining me for Being Who You Are. If you enjoyed our time today, please share this podcast with a friend and head on over to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts and leave the show a rate and review. That helps get our content into the ears and minds of more people who might enjoy it. Thank you again, and looking forward to our next episode.